Okay. Well, let's take up today's lesson. Well, let's pray before we take up today's lesson. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can just meet and think through, Lord, once again, lessons, principles from the book of Ecclesiastes. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this time. We pray for those who are not well. We pray that you will be with them in a very special way. And bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now, so we've been studying from Ecclesiastes. Just to review a few things that we've been studying. So one of the things is about being wise with our words before God. That's Ecclesiastes 5. Not to be rash with our words, but let the heart utter. Not to let the heart utter anything hastily. Let our words be few. Okay, 7 verse 19, wisdom strengthens the wise. The words of the wise, sometimes not listened to, but they are spoken quietly. Okay, that's Ecclesiastes 9, and then Ecclesiastes 10, a wise man's heart is in his right hand. That means he has self-control. Now, why I raised up some of these pertinent lessons is because one of the things that we're going to learn today about your heart. The kind of heart you have will determine the kind of words you speak. The kind of perspective you have, the kind of heart you have, will transpire, will translate to how you see people and how you speak. Okay? And it's very easy to hear a foolish person speaking. Talk to a person, it doesn't take very long to be able to say, oh, this guy maybe not so smart. Maybe this guy, very foolish. This guy, he's wise. So it doesn't take very long for you to be able to determine where this person is coming from. And today we're gonna talk about the words of the wise and the words of the foolish. Okay? And the first part, we will talk about the foolish man. Now, in this passage, there's a lot said about the foolish man. Now, he goes like this. In verse 11, okay, a serpent may bite, Ecclesiastes 10, a serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. Okay, now, here we see, now, one of the things that we want to understand is that when you see a foolish man speaking or talking or blabbling away, what is your response to the person? If you come across a babbler, you know what's a babbler? What's a babbler? What's a babbler? Yeah, okay, a person who talks a lot, he talks without restraint. Okay, it's like a snake. The comparison is like a snake that is not charmed. Have you all seen snake charmers before? Where? Online, okay. Have you seen in real life? Where? The Riverside, the Raffles there. Okay, do they still have them now? Not that much, but they still have them. Huh? Okay, when I was younger, at the zoo, they used to have. I don't know whether they still have today, but at the zoo, they used to have snake charmers. So the guy will play, and then the snake will... Have you all seen? Not on YouTube, but real life. Have you all seen in real life? Ah, okay, you've seen, right? The fellow will... Never seen. That's quite an interesting spectacle. Yeah? The snake will rise up, and then so it's like I don't know how the snake charming, the charmer is doing it, but he plays and then the snake will go according to his, sway of his flute and so on. So here is when a snake is not charmed, it is prone to biting, right? So that's the point. Okay, a babbler is like an uncharmed snake. He is not under any control. He says whatever he wants. Now, if a person is babbling away, what is your response to this person? If you had come across a person who just babbles on, just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Huh? Have you come across people? Or are you like that? Huh? If you come across people, we just talk and talk and talk and talk. Ah. So what do? Just listen. Walk away. Ah, okay. Walk away. Years ago, I was sending a friend back. And the friend had another friend who joined. And then I was sending both of them back. So I sent my friend back. And then there was this girl that was there that I was sending back. Then while I was sending her, from the point I sent my friend back, and then sending her back, from the point she left until the point she got off, it was about 3 minutes, right? She was just talking and talking and talking and talking. I mean, I tried to say something, but just went on and on and on and on and on. Non-stop, okay? One thing after another. No, 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 no. I say, okay, like, yeah, goodbye, see you. Yeah, so that to me is a babbler. You know, non-stop. You just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Right? Now, one of the things that we want to learn is that, okay, for many of us, we just ignore, or we just go away, or we just leave it as it is. Right? But let me just say that foolishness can be dangerous. Foolishness is not just something we allow to just carry on. You have to be careful. Because foolishness, like this babbler, can be dangerous. He can hurt. You understand? So foolishness in a person, when he speaks and he does whatever he wants, he speaks whatever he wants, it can be a very dangerous thing. Okay? You turn with me to James chapter 3. So in James chapter 3, chapter 1 to 12, we read, the 3. And then it talks about the tongue, right? Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. How great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire by hell. No one can tame the tongue. Verse 8, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Can you see? So the tongue, when it is left to just speak on its own, can be dangerous. So we have to be careful about that. Of course, if it's someone we don't know, then, you know, okay, fine. But you allow a person to just carry on speaking and non-stop, sometimes that can be a bit dangerous. It can bite. It can hurt. Okay? For example, Donald Trump. Donald Trump is someone, he got, you know, basically he's like this babbler. I really feel. He just speaks whatever he wants to speak. Right? And it's very dangerous. He starts war. He starts, people die. Can you see how dangerous things can be? Okay, so that's with reference to the words of the fool. So foolishness is not harmless. So don't just dismiss the person. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, you got to be careful. Don't just dismiss the person. Because he may be speaking something about you and it may hurt you. Do you see the point? Right? foolishness can be harmful. It looks innocent. He may say things in jest, but it can hurt. It can bite just like a serpent. See how dangerous it is? And we have to be careful. He thinks, okay, so this person who is a babbler, he thinks he knows a lot. But actually, he doesn't. He's foolish. Okay? But he's still a serpent. That is a dangerous thing. It can harm you. Little words here, said there. And, you know, it can end up hurting a person's reputation. Okay? Now, let's go on to let's go back to okay, any questions you want to ask? Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, so you gotta determine. You gotta understand where this person is coming from. Right? Okay, let's move on. A person is lawful, he has a lot of words to say, can also be dangerous. Okay, I show you. Let's go back to chapter 10. So he says, but the lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Okay, the words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. Okay, see? He begins with foolishness, then as he talks, it becomes worse and worse and worse, like Donald Trump. It becomes worse and worse. During the week, I think he used swear words and, you know, some about with reference to Iran. He called them some not so nice words. Raving madness. This guy, he just raves, he does whatever he wants. And when does he do it? He does it in the middle of the night, on his bed, 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. And then he will just shoot off in his account, his ex account, is it? Yeah, you just say whatever you want. Right? That's raving madness. Okay? Now, we go on to talk. Here is a person. He goes on to say, a fool also multiplies words. Now, a fool can say a lot of things. Now, let's turn to Proverbs 10 now. In Proverbs 10, verse 19. Hi, teacher, come. Proverbs 10, verse 19. Okay, Proverbs 10 and in verse 19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. We are talking about a person who is foolish and he speaks a lot. And when he babbles a lot, he can end up hurting people. Okay? So a question was asked, is there a difference between a person who speaks a lot foolishly and a person who is lawful? Right? Well, a babbler is a person who doesn't know much, but he speaks all kinds of things. Unrestrained, but he also speaks a lot. He just babbles on. Right? And so, if a person just keeps talking and talking, 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 the more you talk, the chances of sinning is there. That's what he's trying to say. So, in a multitude of words, sin is a lot of wisdom in that. The more we talk, the more we say, chances are we may just sin. Right? And so he goes on to say, he who restrains his lip is wise. In other words, you've got to be very careful what you say. Don't just say. Be wise in how you say. In other words, the challenge is learning how to restrain what we say. Now, of course, we also don't want to end up not saying anything. The extreme is, okay lah, now I don't say anything. The Bible say, he who is a fool, if he keeps quiet, he's still wise. I like that one. Right? He's a fool, but he's a bit wise. And he say, you know what? I'm a fool. I'd better not say anything. And he doesn't say anything. People say, wow, this guy is very smart. Very, very wise. But I think he's a fool. Right? So, not saying anything is also wrong. So the challenge is, yes, we need to restrain what we say. And yet, if we say something, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. That means you choose what you want to say. You are careful what you say. It is choice silver. That means there are a lot of silver out there, but well, you choose that which is the best. What is the words you want to say to a person? You follow? So if a person who is just speaking and you know, he just rambles on, and I think that's something we all like to do, you know. I don't know about the ladies, I know y'all like to talk a lot. Talk, right? So, but I guess it's your privilege. It has become like a little norm that ladies, you can just talk. Correct? And then you gather, you talk. But I also would like to say that it's important to be careful what you say. Even in the environment of close friends. Right? I realized recently that I was talking, and then I mentioned something. And then straight away the person, you know, the person was a bit affected. Yeah, because this person was very, very forgetful. You know, during the conversation, we were talking about dementia, right? We were talking about dementia and how that affects, you know, my parents and then mother and so on. It went like that. Then after that, the person was asked a question. Person asked the same question 3 times within the conversation, within an evening, right? Then I say, oh, you also got dementia, right? It was just a joke, right? It was just a joke. But well, the person was a bit hurt by that. Or maybe the person was a bit, right? So we have to be very careful what we say. See, choice silver. The usual adage is, nothing good to say, don't say. Right? If you have nothing good to say, don't say. But saying that, if there's something that we need to raise up, you also need to raise it up. Right? We need to deal with problems. You cannot just ignore it. So that's where the balance has to come in. Does that answer your question? Okay, do you have any other... Ladies, what do you think? Michelle, what do you think? We have choice silver. Then, wow, like that, very hard to talk. Isn't it? Well, it becomes very, wow. Like that, then how to talk? Cannot talk. Really. No, I think there is balance that's needed. I think you can still talk and relate to each other as friends do. But then we also need to be wise in how to say things. Right? I think that's important. So we go on to the next part where it says, okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes 10. It says, a fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? See, the way you speak, the way you talk, the kind of words you speak, ultimately will determine the kind of person you are. And the consequences of that. The way you speak, the way you go about doing things, will actually determine what kind of person you'll be. Or the way, or the result of that, the way you speak. The result of the way you speak. follow? No one knows. And very often when a person just babbles and talks, wow, how would this person turn out? And very often we don't know. But we do know that foolishness is going to affect a person. It can hurt people along the way. No one knows what will the result of what will become of this person. Right? And that's something that we want to consider. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, don't talk too much. Don't say things that you do not fully understand. Be careful what you say. Right? Be wise in what you say. And I think that's something that we want to consider. And then he goes on to say, the labor of the foolish, it causes weariness. They do not remember the directions to the city. So foolishness affects us physically, right? So he goes, a fool, the labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Can you see? So foolishness can affect you physically. Foolishness can affect you cognitively. It affects the way you perceive things, the way, even your sense of direction. The other day I was in an MRT. I was at a bus stop and I was taking 102. And I was looking at my handphone. Right? And then the 102 came. I was still looking. I knew it was there already, and everybody was going up. And I was looking at my handphone. And I needed to send out something. So I was so occupied. The bus was just in front of me. And everybody was going up. So there was quite a number of people. But I needed to send out this thing at that point. And then I sent out, send out. And after I sent out, I looked up, the bus went off. I was so shocked. It's like, oh, it was such a foolish thing to do. I was waiting 5-10 minutes for the bus, and then finally it came. I was just about 2 meters away. Everybody was going up. I thought, okay, it would take a while, and then the bus left. See how foolish we can be, right? Or you so occupied with your phone, and then you miss your MRT station. Has that happened to you before? Right? You lost your sense of direction, right? You all of a sudden, how do you get there? So, foolishness affects you. Physically, cognitively, your perception, even your sense of direction. You see, it affects you as a person. That's the point that he's trying to make. Okay? And by the time he gets to work, so it affects his sense of direction, right? By the time he gets to work, I've lost it. It is really tired. Before he starts work, he's already weary. Now, we come to the point of it all. Verse 9. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Now, the challenge is always, can we speak gracious words? Wise, gracious words. And that's the challenge. It should always be gracious. It should always be. So, gracious words is a reflection of a wise heart. It's a reflection of a person's faith. It comes from a person who has self-control. It comes from a person who has much depth, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Okay, so my question is, what is gracious words? How do you define gracious words? How would you define gracious words? Right, okay, here we talk about gracious words. And I think that's always a challenge. How can we speak graciously or gracious words. Okay, to our family member. I think one of the hardest is always family member. Okay, work, even church, our friends. Anybody else? Enemies. Huh? Especially enemies. How do you speak gracious words or your boss? Okay, it's not your boss. Wow. You have a nasty boss. How do you speak gracious words to people? And it's always a challenge. Okay, let's define. What are gracious words? What do you think? How do you define gracious words? Sorry? Okay, so after you have thought, what comes up? How do you express? What kind of words? What is gracious words? Y'all don't speak gracious words. What's gracious words? Y'all don't speak gracious words. You're very rough with each other. Huh? Keeping silent. No, it's not wise. This is the time to answer the pastor. Yeah. What is the gracious word? Okay, without malice, say it in a positive way. Sorry? Tactful, okay. Okay, good start. Tactful. What else? What's tactful? Huh? Appropriate word. Okay, appropriate word. Tactful. What else? Kind, yes, kind. Especially kind is kind words. When you speak to a person, it's always good to be kind, even your enemy. Kind words. That's gracious words. Right? That's very important. When we speak, we don't need to raise our voice, we don't need to be, you know, we don't need to speak in a way that is unkind. Okay, what else? Yes. This is the man. Rest. Okay, respectful. Can let's include that. Respectful. What else? Gentle, yes. Gentle words. Right? Gentle words. We don't need to speak words of war. We don't need to speak. Wow, straight away, open the mouth. Fire comes out. Right? Donald Trump, when he opens his mouth, wow, every time it's just fiery. The words he speaks, my goodness. Gentle words. Kind words. Huh? Gentle words. To me, gracious words are gentle words. You know, it's always good to. One of the things we learned at camp was to learn to have a gentle and quiet spirit. Right? We learn how to answer a person with meekness and fear. The word meekness is the same word as gentleness. Meekness. Okay? Meek words. Doesn't sound correct. Right? Meek is more a noun rather than an adjective. Right? But gentle words. How? Easy or not? To have all these kind of words. It's not easy. It's not easy. So it takes a lot of wisdom to know how to speak these words at the right time and right way to people, especially the boss. Right? How your interview? You done already? Not yet. When is it? Monday. Okay, let's pray for Michelle. Michelle's going for an interview. She's going to try to be a teacher. Right? So we're going to pray. Pray especially for her. Huh? Right? Be gentle, okay? Gracious words, gentle, you know, be firm, and yet gracious words, isn't it? Father asked, what do you think of the Singapore education system? Oh, gentle words. Wise words. Huh? Be careful what you say. Right. Okay, what else? Some more. A few more. Comforting, okay? Comforting. Compassionate words. Compassionate words. Words that when we speak, they are with compassion. And it's always a challenge. You know, to be able to incorporate this into the way we speak to people, the way we speak to our family members. The worst part of you is always seen at home. It's so easy for us to let down our guard and speak our mind, our heart, and sometimes we speak the wrong things. Okay? And sometimes it's important the way you, especially your mom or your dad, sometimes the way we respond to them. Respectful. You still have to be respectful. Gracious. Compassionate. Okay? I think that these are important words. Okay, what your okay, any questions? Okay, how do you so let's define it. So these are gracious words. Now the next question is how to have such words. Right, so okay, wow. These are important words. These are things that we should be able to understand. But now the challenge is, how do we go about it? How you find gracious words? Interesting. Okay. How do we find it? How do we go about it? Wait. Army men. How? Okay. Yeah, that's right. Be wise. But how to be wise? How do you go about practicing the wisdom? That is very important. How do you go about practicing? Okay, now let's turn to another passage. Let's turn to Colossians 4. In Colossians 4, we read with reference to those who are outside. Right? So he begins first, chapter 4 and verse 2 talks about continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God will open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Now, he goes on to say in verse 5, walk with wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. I think one of the challenges that we want to have before we even talk about speaking gracious words is that we need to walk in wisdom. So wisdom is not something that we just understand. It should not be just theoretical. Wisdom should be something we practice every day. We should walk in wisdom. It should be a lifestyle of living in wisdom. Because if you don't practice wisdom every day, you are not going to find the right words, gracious words, when you need to at the right time. If you don't practice wisdom, so wisdom should be part of your life. And if you walk in wisdom, you learn, okay, you know what? I'm going to redeem my time. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to use my time well. Yeah, sure, there can still be time to relax. But you learn to use your time well. And when you are a person of wisdom, you will also learn to choose your words well. Walk in wisdom. Let your speech always be with grace. Very important, the word always. So we learn how to let our speech, okay, speak words, always have gracious words, right? The word is always have gracious words. So here, if we walk in wisdom with those who are redeeming the time, let your speech always be with grace. Okay, so with people who are outside, people who don't know the Lord, people who you come across, your boss, your friends, always speak. Season with salt. Ah. Okay, let me try to define for you what speaking graciously means. One, you're not judgmental. Okay? You don't want to end up with being you're not speaking judgmental words. Okay? Two, you're not. Your words are carefully chosen that you do not hurt people. It's very easy to hurt people along the way. Right? You are speaking words that will edify or encourage. Right? This, to me, is how you speak to someone who's outside. You speak words that are profitable. You speak words that are gracious. You don't be judgmental. You don't want to end up hurting a person. You learn to edify. You learn how to speak words that contribute, is profitable. Can you see? Okay, let's stop for questions. any questions? Yeah. Redeeming the time means buying. So the word redeem is buying back, is buying something in return, right? Redemption. So it's the whole idea of redemption and so on. It's buying back something. Okay? Redeeming the time means we really have a short time. Literally, like you're buying back time. You know, you're trying to make sure that whatever time has been given to you, you want to make full use, literally trying to make full use of the time. Like, it's almost like, you know, making sure that the time you use, that time has been given to you, you make full use of it. It's like you're trying buy back the time. Can you see? Now the word redeeming is also used in Ephesians 5. Okay? That you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, verse 15, because the days are evil. So he adds the word, because the days are evil. Right? We don't want to end up being used by the evil one. We don't want to use the day to do that evil or wrong or along the way hurting people. Right? So here he talks about, you know, walk circumspectly, not as fools but as time, redeeming the time, trying to buy back the time. You're trying to, you know, literally, wow, okay, I have only this short time. How can I use the time as best as I can? That's the idea of redeeming time. Right? I'm trying to buy back the time. I'm trying to use it. Squeeze whatever I can out of time. That's the idea. So same, this past 3 weeks, you know, sometimes after camp, oh, okay, I can relax. Oh, this past few weeks, no relax after camp. Straight away, wow, oh, I gotta prepare for SST, and then pastor is going to go away. Wow, oh, he's also going for his operation, right? So wow, I gotta plan everything ahead of time. Gotta work. So I've been working nonstop every day, even after camp, no rest for the weekend. Just keep not that. It's just a phrase. Right, no rest. I just kept going and going and going, trying to squeeze every single moment I can, try to finish whatever I need to finish before he leaves tomorrow. So after this, I'm going to see him after youth worship. Wow, trying to, okay. Then on Friday, it was confirmed to me that I'm chairing tomorrow. I'm really using whatever time I have. Just squeeze everything. Huh? Tell you. Yeah. I tell you a lot already. Until know you. Right, so, wow. So tonight, I'm also gonna... So the idea here is that don't waste your time. That's the point. Use your time wisely. It's like you are... It's like money... They say time is money. Right? Time is money. It's almost like you're trying to use time, money to buy back the time. Time costs. Time is money. And then you're trying to buy it back. That's the idea. You follow? Huh? So the famous adage, time is money. Right? Same. We see time also as important. It's costly. You waste the time, it's costly. You have wasted that money, so-called. You wasted that time that God has given to you. Can you see? Right? I mean, to me, I as far as I can, I try not to waste my time. I use my time well. Especially today, tomorrow. And then, okay, maybe Monday can... Maybe not. I don't know. Something else will come up. You know? And we learn how to redeem the time. And part of the idea of redeeming the time is being careful what we say. How we say things. Right? So what is seasoned with salt? Let your words always be gracious, but words also be seasoned with salt. Ah. What is seasoned? Okay, our friend is a cook. What is season with salt? What does season with salt mean? Salty words. Huh? Are you salty words? Book it in? Taste. Okay. Okay. Taste what? What are they tasting? Salt. What is salt? Salt is used for reasoning. Sorry? Preserving. Okay. Salt is normally used very often when you go for dentist. They ask you to gargle certain kind of liquid. It's a salty saline. It's salt. So salt heals. Season with salt means I want to speak. One, the taste, your words are distinct. Okay? They are distinct words. Two, they are healing words. Your words heal rather than hurt. I heal people along the way. I speak words, people are comforted, people are, even the non-believers. You can speak words in a certain way, it's healing rather than, you know, words that create division, hurt, and you know, become acrimonious. Right? It is words that are profitable. Right? Words that purify. Right? Words that are of value. This is salt. It is distinct, it is valuable, it is healing, it brings healing, it purifies. That's what salt does. Salty words. Gracious words, salty words. Now you say seasoned with words, seasoned with salt, right? I'm just quoting Colossians Paul. Right? Salty words, gracious words. No. Okay, hey, over to you. Any, you want to raise up? Anything? Does that answer your question? Redeeming the time. Okay, let's redeem the time. Wisdom. But then at the same time, as we redeem the time, as we walk in wisdom, we speak the right words. Because if you don't speak the right words, you speak wrong words, you speak words that hurt, you waste your time trying to resolve things. You waste time, you know, trying to reconcile, explaining yourself. It takes so much time doing all this. If you just speak kind words, gracious words, it's straightforward. It's okay. Yeah, you want to ask something? Bible says in the Beatitudes, tells us, okay, let's turn to Matthew 5. When people revile you, what do you do? Bless them. Right. Now this is the challenging part. Okay, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, say all kinds, verse 11. Say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Right? For great is the reward in heaven. Okay, first, rejoice. Ha. Okay, don't be angry. Now, verse 44, I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hurt you, pray for those who spitefully use you, persecute you. So when people speak against you, what do you do? Is that you don't speak against them. Don't take revenge. Don't respond by doing the same thing. If you respond by doing the same thing, then you're no different from anybody. Challenge is, how am I going to respond? I'm going to respond by keeping quiet. I'm not going to respond. So, my rule of thumb, if they are speaking against me, I don't respond. If they are speaking against the name of God, if God's name is at stake, they are speaking blasphemy. Sorry, I'm going to defend the Lord. I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to defend the Lord. Anytime the Lord's name anything that's with reference to God, blasphemy, I will stand and defend the Lord. But if it's with reference to me personally, I just leave it. I'm not going to respond. Right? When the Lord Jesus, when they accuse him of all kinds of things, what do? He kept quiet. But the moment they accuse him, they blaspheme, they brought the name of the Lord, they blaspheme the name of the Lord defended. I think that's how we should do it. Okay, and if people want to say anything, that's fine. Sure, we still need to defend if it's a public thing. If my name gets smeared on internet, then I have a right to defend myself. Because the people will want to know whether these things are true or so and so forth, right? When it's myself, I'll just... Okay, but if it's a public with reference to the church name at stake, I would defend. You see how different it is? If it's a personal thing, I'll just... But if it's with reference to ministry, with reference to the church, there's a different thing. We have to defend the church. We have to defend the congregation. So wisdom will tell you how to go about it. Whether to or not. Do you understand? Ken, does that answer your question? Okay, any other questions? Raise all the questions. I think first things first, if you have something that you are not happy about, it's easy to complain about it, right? And I think you have to be wise what you say. I generally don't complain to people. I bring these things to the Lord. So the person I speak to most, and that's what I do. And I leave it there. I cast my cares upon him, for he cares for me. Right? When you talk to people and you want to confide things with them, you also have to be wise in what you say, because it really depends on what you're talking about. You don't want to end up with gossip. You also don't want to end up complaining. Want to talk about things, great, but it has to be done in a way where you are still gracious to this person. Maybe you are unhappy. Yeah. Maybe you want to be more specific. What are you talking about? Yeah, so you can talk about it, but with the intention of learning from it. Because sometimes, I guess, ladies, when you talk, you just want to talk. You just want to talk about it, and it stops there. Right? It's not about whether I want to learn or want to grow from it, I want to find a solution to it. So it depends on your intention. And I think if you have good intentions, then you can talk about it and then try to resolve it, right? But if you just want to talk about it and not want to do anything about it and get all upset and you just want everybody to know so that you are unhappy with this person, you want to express that, and then that's it. No, I don't think we should do that. Which I think a lot of people tend to do. They like to just gossip and then everybody gets angry about it and then that's it. Or I am unhappy with you, right? You are going through this, I identify with you. No, I don't think we should do that. I think if you want to talk about certain things, I think the intention is very important. The intention to want to learn from yourself, how to grow out of this, how to be able to cope with this, how to be able to resolve an issue that's there. I think if you go with the intention of learning, wanting to learn, I think that's a good rather than. Okay, like for example, during Vespers. During Vespers, you can raise all these things up. Right? And then whoever is the Vesper leader will try to help you around. Or whoever you want to confine in. So sometimes the person you confine in is also important. Okay. If you talk to the same kind of person, you're also struggling, that person is also struggling, and both of you struggle together, also that's not the best. Okay? Okay, anything else? Anybody else? Oh. Yeah. Sure. Okay. You're talking about your boss. You're talking about. Okay, well, that's always a challenge. Okay, let's deal with how do you stop. How do you stop? Well, you have to grow a heart of compassion. It all begins with the heart. If you have a heart of compassion, you will see people differently. You know, straight away you see non-believers slightly different. Because they are non-believers. Right? Don't judge them. This was the problem with Jonah. Jonah, when he was asked to go to Nineveh, he was very angry with the Ninevites because the Ninevites were really cruel, you know, people, they tortured people, the Jews, and so on and so forth. Right? So he was very angry with them. But these people were non-believers. Thank God for them. God to him. Why can't you have compassion on them? Because they do not know right or wrong. In the same way, they do not know from the left hand to the right hand what is right and what is wrong. They don't even know. So basically, he's basically trying to tell them be compassionate. So I think if you really want to reach out to be able to stop speaking unkind words to those who are non-believers, then begin with a compassion. See them differently. They are non-believers. Right? And then slowly develop a bigger heart of love, a bigger heart of wisdom. That's something that you can work with. Bit by bit, step by step, ask the Lord to change you. And then, you know, learn. Learn how to speak. Memorize this passage. Memorize this verse. This one verse I memorized. Let your speech always be gracious. Walk in wisdom, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be wisdom, seasoned with salt, right? Knowing how to answer people who are right? Okay, first question. And firm. Okay. Just now I was talking about don't be judgmental, right? Don't hurt people. But then you still need to be firm. So firm can be also gentle. It doesn't mean that firm has to be fierce. Firm can be also gentle. Like, for example, if you're telling a subordinate or someone, you can tell a person, oh, sorry, you know, you need to get this done. Get it done! Or you can say, sorry, you know, you still need to get this done. I need you to get this done. That's firm. It's how you want to bring it. When I was in the Air Force, I always tell people, so I don't tell them to do this thing. I ask them, firstly, How do you have time? Can you get inside? And then you build a relationship with them. You build a very strong relationship. And then they will always say, don't worry, boss, I'll get it done. You know, when you build a very strong relationship with them, they will treat you with greater respect. With greater, you know, submission to what you need. Something that you develop. So it's not just telling them, it's your relationship with them that matters. Okay? Bring them for lunch. If it's your subordinate or your friend, you know, then you can have a better working relationship. Okay, Ken, praying for you. Okay, well, let's pray before we go. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray. Thank you for this time that we can learn how to speak gracious words and not words that are of foolish, words that hurt, words that create problems. We pray, dear Father, that you will teach us to walk in wisdom, redeeming the time, that our words always be with grace and seasoned with salt. We pray, dear Lord, that you will continue to work in our hearts and our lives, that we may express gracious words rather than words of wrath and foolishness. We ask for your guidance.